Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're bringing you the Whistler recap episode.
Live and direct from Adrian's car.
From my car.
On a ferry.
On a ferry.
The worst designed ferry I've ever seen.
Oh, this is garbage. I don't even want to try to get out of my car. We're so tightly packed, but oh well, whatever.
We're not small men.
No. Oh well. So, we just finished Whistler Film Festival. How many times have you been?
Four or five times. I don't remember.
My second time. Have a blast. I love it there.
It's a pretty cool vibe.
Yeah.
We hang out with some good people.
Yeah.
Big shout out to the After the Credits crew.
Yeah, they really make it worth our while. Like, it wouldn't be as much fun without them there. Mostly because, you know, we're guys who love to go to the movies. We're there to see movies.
In between us and them, we're pretty much the only people watching movies.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a shame, because there are some really good films playing there. And if it's not BC made, if your high school buddy didn't make the film, then you're not at that movie. So we're at a party trying to find a job.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I just could not reduce myself to that kind of lifestyle.
More on that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
So while we're on the topic of After the Credits, we did record an episode with them. We will post a link to their show in the show notes, because we did talk a little bit about our top five worst movies.
Which I screwed up.
Yeah. Bill messed it up. We had a lot of fun recording that one. We recorded with them last year, and they kind of got us really psyched about starting our own podcast. So
if you don't like the podcast, it's their fault.
That's right.
Sorry. Yeah.
So highly recommend After the Credits with Road3.com. So check them out. So just the format of the show, we're going to, after the intro here, we're going to get into a bit of a rant. I suspect we're both going to have a lot of the same things to say. We'll talk about our top five films, talk about our worst films, and we'll wrap it up from there. This show should be a little bit shorter than usual.
I always find a way to make that not happen.
That's right. So we have some rant action to get through. You want to start with that?
Yeah, why not?
You usually go first. I'll start first this time. Okay, so Whistler Film Festival plays lots of films. Mostly Canadian films, but a lot of world selections, which is great. Special presentations, they usually open it up to a lot of American stuff. We're there to see films. Last year I saw 25 films. What did you see? 27 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
This year I didn't see as many, mostly because I got really turned off by a lot of the movies I watched, so it really kind of killed my spirit. So I just went back to my room and slept for 2 or 3 hours and missed a couple of movies. So I think my final tally was like 13 films, maybe 12. I don't even know.
I think mine was 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Which is low for me.
Yeah.
We did stay a day less than usual.
Yeah, that's true. But we didn't miss a lot.
No.
But my rant is just the amount of star fucking ass kissing that goes on. Like, and I'm not talking about just people who are friends with the filmmakers, but I'm talking about quote unquote film critics who are there to cover the festival, that are there to take selfies with Chase Crawford and Jason Priestley and Sarah Gaydon. It kills the entire integrity of journalism and what journalism is supposed to be. Like, it's really gross.
You know,
they're chasing quotes of movies that won't be seen by anybody else anyway. So it's like, you may get on a DVD cover, perhaps. I just don't see the point of it. I don't enjoy going out there to try to make friends with filmmakers. That's not why I'm there.
You said it perfectly. The Whistler Film Festival. Not the Whistler Schmooze Fest.
Yeah.
Watch some fucking films, hacks.
Yeah. And I totally get that a lot of the industry people there are there to network and chase jobs. A lot of the films, you know, a movie like, say, What an Idiot, who knows if that gets made without Whistler Film Festival, because it's like all Vancouver people working together on that. I get that it sort of helps people network and stuff, but that's strictly those people. I don't know. It's something we talk about a lot, and for good reason. Like, it's...
Integrity is key, man.
Yeah.
We're not exactly huge.
No, definitely not.
And I don't confess to be a huge film critic.
Yeah.
Our podcast is very minor.
Yeah.
People listen to it. It's cool. We thank you for it.
Yeah.
But we have never, ever said that we were anything bigger than what we are. And we go to a film festival to watch films.
Yeah.
And if I ever catch Adrian... getting a selfie with some person who is probably a C-list actress or actor,
yeah,
I'll walk up to him, slap him in the face. I really will.
Yeah. Unless it's like, what's her name? Sarah Canning. I would have been all over that. I would have been like, yo, what up?
Yeah. I just, it's everything I hate.
Yeah.
If you're there to put yourself over under the guise of being a film critic,
yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're scum.
Scum of the earth.
If you can't go on Twitter and say, I'm seeing this film, and then hashtagging everybody who's in the film and the film company, you're a fucking whore.
Yeah.
And I hope you know it.
Yeah.
But wait, you don't, because you have no integrity.
No, the people who are doing that have no integrity and have a blurred vision of what friendship really means, you know? Like, yeah. I talked about this before, maybe not on the podcast, but in conversation with you. It's like the film Almost Famous. Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, he has that bit where he said, oh, you became friends with him. You're like, you're not actually friends. Like, they want you to become friends with them, so you'll give them a friendly review, so maybe a few more people will see their film.
All they care about is trying to get people to see their film. They will,
yeah,
do anything.
Yeah. Include take a selfie with you and,
yeah,
act friendly with you, which is just disgusting.
You're fucking prostitutes.
Yeah.
And I hope you like anal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. All right. I think that's a good place to end our rant, unless you had anything else to add.
No, I took it up a notch.
All right, there we go. So there's our rant, both of us mutually kind of getting in on that action. Should we talk about Top Gun?
The 7-minute rant.
That's right. Yeah.
Oops. I don't care.
Yeah.
We're on a ferry.
We've got an hour and 40 minutes to kill.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat.
That's right. Top 5 films. Do you want to start it off?
Yeah. As I said, we recorded a podcast earlier with the After the Credits crew, and... Marina Antoon set a film in her top 5 that I totally forgot about. And it was just like, shit!
Yeah.
So, this is me fixing it.
Yeah.
So, my number 5 was Backcountry.
Okay.
But that's now number 6.
Yeah.
So, my number 5 is Still Alice. Julianne Moore as a Alzheimer's patient who slowly declines throughout the entire film. Making you feel really sad and bad.
Oh, I heard it's a tough watch.
You know, it is, because I think we've all kind of encountered something like this before.
Yeah.
I know I have.
Mm.
And it sucks. There's nothing you can really do about it, and the person is still the same person, but they don't remember you.
Yeah.
It's a good film. It's not a great film.
Yeah.
We didn't see a lot of films this fast, so this top 5 maybe should have only been a top 3, but we made it a top 5.
Yeah.
It's a good film. It's not a great film.
Yeah.
A lot of people are praising her performance. It's a really good performance.
Cool.
Kristen Stewart's really good in it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Alec Baldwin's in it. He's really good.
Oh, I didn't know he was in it.
It's not really a false note in this film. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Cool. Yeah,
I wish I'd seen 50 films.
Yeah.
So I could have had a better list, but...
Yeah.
It's a good film, not a great film. Number 5, Still Alice.
Right on. My number 5 is Backcountry, the bear horror film.
Yeah.
Survival horror. A couple goes out into the woods. The guy fancies himself a camping expert.
Because he hiked it a couple times in high school.
Yeah.
Idiot.
He thinks he knows everything. He is the typical wannabe alpha male who thinks he knows everything. And you mentioned it before. He gets mad at his girlfriend because she brings a flare and, like, bear mace and...
stuff that might help.
Yeah, she brings really good stuff, and he gets mad at her for that. He's like, you won't need that. You're not going to need that. Like, as if it's weighing her down or something.
Yeah.
So, what did Marina say again? Don't go into the woods.
Stupid people should not be able to go into the woods alone.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's right. So completely true.
Yeah. Yeah, so they, basically, he's like, going to take her to the lake, and they're going to have a good time, romantic weekend in the woods. He gets them lost,
and along the way they're picking up signs like giant bear footprints,
yeah,
big giant claw marks in trees, broken stuff that probably couldn't have been broken by, you know, a human.
Yeah. Little trees, branches. I was like, well, there's a big fucking animal walking through this way. And the guy kind of, he foreshadows it big time. He just, every time he sees something, he's like, oh my God. He's freaking out, but he's like, oh, let's just keep moving.
A lot of stuff in this film is really foreshadowed.
Big time. Yeah. They telegraph pretty much everything. I still liked it because of the execution. Like, once the bear does show up and terrorizes them, there's some really cool genre moments. Nice use of practical effects, which I find gets a lot of praise if it's just practical effects, but it's really good stuff. Like, there's a bit where one of the characters gets swatted in the arm. They look down, and they see blood just gushing out of the sleeve of their jacket, and I was like, oh, that is awesome. Like, that's my jam right there.
And bears are cool.
Yeah, bears are awesome.
Anybody who would say that, oh no, man, I wouldn't be afraid if I was being chased by a bear. No, dude, you would be.
Yeah.
They are vicious, holy shit animals that will destroy you with one swipe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And because of that, the movie is pretty effective.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun little film.
Yeah, it's, you know, it won't be the scariest film you've seen of all time. It's certainly not the scariest camping film you've seen. But it's effective in what it's doing. And it's got some really, you know, Eric Balfour shows up as an Australian guy. And it was cool to see him on the big screen. And, you know, he's a working actor. So it's pretty cool to see him in this film. So, yeah, I was all the way into it. I had a lot of fun with it. And I'm going to go camping soon. So, number 5, Backcountry.
But are you going to bring all your stuff?
Oh, no. No, I'll get mad at Sarah if she takes anything, too.
Yeah.
You're not going to need that. Put that shotgun away.
You're not going to need your bow and arrow. No. Yeah. My number 4 was the film I forgot on the last podcast. Allie Was Screaming.
Okay.
Which breaks my I hate Canadian rule because it's Canadian. Two guys and a girl who have been friends forever. Like best friends, like inseparable. The female dies in a house fire.
Ah.
And when they are going through her stuff after the funeral, they find a big giant stack of lottery tickets.
Ah.
And we check all the lottery tickets, and she's won $30 million.
Oh, wow.
Except for the lottery tickets have really some markings on it that make it look that everybody will know it's hers.
Oh, okay.
So they really have no way of checking it without people knowing.
Yeah.
So it becomes a kind of a thing about how the only person who would really know, what do you do with that person? Do you take them out so you can get cash a lottery ticket, or do you sit on it? It's $30 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Go camping with that.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's really tension filled, and the performances are really good, and it doesn't look like a Canadian film.
Oh, cool.
That actually bonus. looks like a really well made film. And it's really good. I really liked it. It totally snuck up on me. It wasn't Wicked. Actually on my schedule. And then I switched something else, and
yeah.
Yeah, and it's my surprise of the festival.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was really upset when you told me that. I was like, oh, because I watched two bad films in a row and actually was so defeated that I went back to my room to take a nap.
It's so funny, too, because Adrian was going to go see a movie called Big Muddy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that movie, I don't know. Like, they're using the word Malick, and that's like, that's a big no-no. You can't use that word because either you're Terrence Malick or you're not Terrence Malick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long did it take you to figure that one out? Like,
it took about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The fact that they mentioned Malick is only because it's shot in Alberta, which I don't know where Badlands was shot, but what's it called? What's his second film called?
Days of Heaven?
Days of Heaven, yeah. Days of Heaven was shot in Alberta.
Yeah.
But Badlands, I know, has the male-female kind of crime stuff going on. And I think that's about... That's the only similarities they have going on. Wow. Malick has style. He's got flair. He knows cinema.
Did it have, like, shots of wheat moving back and forth with the female character going, Mother. Mother Earth. I love you.
No.
That's not a Terrence Malick film.
There was no voiceover.
It's my favorite part of the Malick films.
And no... the voiceover from, like, the Thin Red Line, like, you know, sometimes it's not obvious who you're listening to as well. And when you do figure out who it is, it's so key in the movie. But anyway...
That was a tangent.
Yeah, that was... We went off on a bit there. I'll talk more about Big Muddy later. Number four.
Okay, we did number four? Okay.
Number four, The Duke of Burgundy. A film that did not play well here at Whistler Film Festival. There was about 20 people there.
And like seven of them were our crew.
Yeah. I was laughing a lot through a lot of the funny bits. And then I realized, wait, I'm the only one laughing. And I kind of looked around and I was like, oh, I'm the only one having a good time here. And this sucks. But The Duke of Burgundy is about some... lesbian lovers who are into a BDSM relationship. One is dominant, one is submissive. And they kind of play out this... play out the roles.
The same routine every day.
They've got routines they go through.
Trying to get it right.
That's right. I think that some of that stuff's really funny and... also very sad at the same time because, you know, while one is kind of compromising to make her partner happy, you kind of go, well, is that happiness? And this movie strikes me as a movie that's an exaggerated look at relationships and what we do in terms of commitment, trust, communication. Compromise, what we're willing to do for the other person to keep them happy while also maintaining your own happiness and fulfillment. And I loved all that stuff. And there's a bit with a moth. A lot of stuff with moths.
The parts of the film I didn't like.
Yeah, where they talk about a moth that goes into hibernation for 6 months and... during the winter. I think there's a lot going on there. A lot of subtext, a lot of stuff to chew on, and I think there's a lot to talk about in that aspect of the film. But I think a lot of people will watch it. I can't fault anybody because it is way out there. It is pretty messed up. It's not... it's very bizarre. I think I got this out of the film... a lot more out of the second time because I did see it once before. But yeah, there's a lot going on there. I love the film, appreciate it. I wish everybody loved it, but can't win them all.
As I said to you earlier, I will give the film a second chance.
Yeah.
I did like the relationship aspect of it. I just thought the rest of it sucked. And it was just, I didn't think it made sense at times.
Yeah.
It was to the point where he was trying to be a little bit, like, cryptic.
Yeah.
When he probably didn't have to be.
Yeah.
And then all that moth shit can fuck right off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all good. Yeah. So, yeah, my number four, Duke of Burgundy.
My number three What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yes.
A really fun mockumentary about vampire roommates.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Four vampires living together, and a documentary, they agree to let a documentary crew follow them, and they're given crucifixes for their protection.
Yeah, it's stuff you didn't think that would be funny is really funny. Like, really mundane things, like one of them hasn't done the dishes in like 6 months.
Yeah.
And then it pans to it, and they're all covered in blood, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And vampire fighting is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, not only just their verbal disagreements, but their physical altercations are amazing.
Yeah. Like, no doubt. I really think this might be the funniest film I've seen this year. I know you, like, lost your mind.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I mentioned before, like, the first 10 to 15 minutes of the film, I don't think I paused for a second to catch my breath. I was laughing so hard and just losing my mind the whole time. It is so funny.
There's a really cool dynamic in the film. They have a new vampire join the community.
Yeah.
The Nosferatu vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Makes a new vampire.
Yeah.
And this new vampire has a really good human friend.
Yeah.
And he comes over to the house, and they're all like, well, we really want to eat him.
Yeah.
But he's such a nice guy. We really like him, so we're not going to eat him.
Yeah. And he just hangs out with them.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's actually my number two film.
Right on.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Right on.
And Jermaine Clement is in it. He wrote and co-directed, right?
Yeah.
Man, he's got a direct line to my funny bone. He just, every time he's on screen, I laughed every time. He's just such a funny guy, and everybody else involved is just terrific.
Like, yeah.
And I think Marina mentioned it, they're all kind of ugly guys, where in films, typically vampires are very sexy, very beautiful people.
Like, no, this is not the vampire Lestat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no Brad Pitt in this one.
Yeah, it's set in modern day, and they all kind of dress the way they dressed when they were made as vampires. So they all have frilly shirts, and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, vests and weird jackets. And
not all the jokes work.
Yeah.
But I'd say 90% of them do.
Yeah.
It's a genius film.
It is funny. I loved it to bits. Number three, my number two?
Yeah, my number two, 71.
Oh, yeah, that's my number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can I say? I like a good war film.
Yeah.
This isn't really like a war film. It's more of a country struggle between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK.
Yeah.
And how Ireland just did not want to conform.
Yeah.
And they fought back.
Yeah.
And the English were always sending people in to try to do stuff. And one day, when a couple trucks of English people come in, hey, the Irish don't take it. And they start stoning them and a bunch of other stuff. And two people get left behind because the English are cowards, obviously, in this film. I don't know that. But, and the film is about one English guy trying to maneuver around Northern Ireland without getting caught.
Yeah.
And it is some really tense stuff.
Yeah, he's a soldier.
Yeah.
English soldier. And the beautiful thing about this film is it shows a lot of aspects of what went on in that time. Like, you mentioned it before, it's English versus Irish, and, like, Irish versus Irish. And there's a lot of twists and turns in this film, a lot going on. It's not just a straightforward soldier getting stuck on the wrong side of the tracks. Like, he runs into some really interesting, colorful characters.
Yep.
There were times where I wish they had subtitles. Some of them have really thick accents. But man, it is tense as hell.
Yeah, and it goes places you don't think it's gonna go.
Yeah.
And I always applaud that.
Oh, yeah. They did not hold any punches in this film. Like, it's not a Hollywood version of this film. Like, I would hate to see this remade as an American film. Because, man, it is gritty. It is gross at times. It's violent. But not just for the sake of violence. Like, it really means something. And
yep.
They really have a story to tell. It's I was on the edge of my seat the whole time, white knuckling this film. Really good stuff, 71.
Yeah, all of a sudden Jack O'Connell has become kind of the Hollywood it boy.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier in the year, he starred in a film called Start Up.
Oh, yeah, I still need to see that.
It's a really good film. Yeah. And he's in the big tentpole film and on Christmas Day by Angelina Jolie, mm-hmm. Unbroken.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's really good. There's this little kid in the film. I don't know his name.
He's awesome.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
Just swears more than me.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's a really great film. I hope people get to see it. It opens in Canada in February. I don't know about the States, but it's a damn good film.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out. Put it on your radar. 71.
Did I totally screw the order up there for you?
No, not at all. Yeah. It all blends together. I guess we're ready to talk about our top film, which is the exact same pick, right?
Yeah, there was no contest.
Yeah, no contest in this
one. Absolutely no contest.
Yeah.
Whistler got a bit of a coup this year. They got the Canadian premiere of J.C. Chandor's The Most Violent Year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I think has only played a couple festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
All the press have seen it in the States, but
yeah,
it's a pretty big coup.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. So kudos to anybody involved who brought this in, because, man, that is a spectacular film.
It's a beast.
It is. It's got Oscar Isaac, Jessica Chastain. Albert Brooks is in this film.
And Albert Brooks' awesome. Hair is so good in this film.
I did not recognize him.
Really?
Yeah, until his second scene. I was like, oh, that's Albert Brooks.
Hey, he's got that voice.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the premise? Oscar Isaac plays an oil man. He is a
heating oil company.
Yeah.
Not like a Texas oil man like Daniel Plainview. But,
yeah.
He supplies oil to people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't know was a very lucrative and really annoyingly like complex thing, because there's I don't know, like four or five different people who do this in a town, and they all rob from each other. Like, I didn't know this.
Yeah, yeah, it's super super gangster.
Yeah.
How did Marina put it? She's like, it was like a Scorsese film without all the violence.
Yeah, there's some violence.
There is some.
Yeah, but it's more character driven.
Yeah.
A story of a man who says to everybody around him that he is completely honest, mm-hmm. and never does anything not by the books.
Yeah.
Except for, you know damn well that everybody below him is shady.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, he surrounds himself with some shady people. And
One of the things in the film is that he's being investigated for being shady by the FBI. And he literally has to look at his wife and go, have we done anything wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he doesn't know. He thinks everything is perfect.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Yeah, he... and, man, this is... Just a quick heads up. I hate that we even have to say this, but this is a very dialogue-driven film. It's, you know, it's called The Most Violent Year. It is super gangster, but it's far from, like, action-packed.
This is not Goodfellas.
It's not Goodfellas, and that's okay. Like, it really works the way it's laid out to us. Oh, man, it's just Oscar Isaac delivering just an outstanding performance. Jessica Chastain is amazing. Everybody else is just terrific. Like, even small characters I've never seen or heard of before, they all bring it. It's such a good film.
Also has a really amazing chase scene in it. And I love chase scenes.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen one like this before, so get ready for that one. It is some sweet stuff.
Yeah. And We talked briefly last night about this. This film, it does take a little while to get going, but man, does it ever reward you for sticking with it. And it doesn't work without that slow build-up. Like, that slow build-up is totally necessary, because you'll be wondering what's going on for probably the first 15 minutes. And then Chandor slowly starts to paint the picture, and you start to put the pieces together. And there's very little exposition in this film.
Yeah.
It just kind of tells the story and trusts you to follow along. And as long as you're watching the film and not, you know, browsing Twitter while you're doing it, it's so watchable. And just, I was on the edge of my seat the whole film.
I applaud a film that does not hold your hand.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you were talking about the Hunger Games last episode.
Oh,
and
God.
how they legit had to explain everything in that film.
There's
no time for that in this film.
No,
he's got stuff to do and he's doing it.
Yeah.
J.C. Chandor has become one of the great American filmmakers.
Oh yeah.
And he's only done three films.
Yeah.
And I applaud him. This is a damn near masterpiece. Tell you the truth, I've been going to Whistler for 4 or 5 years. This is the second film I rated 5 out of 5 at Whistler.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
An animated film from France called The Painting.
Okay.
This was an animated Oscar film from a few years ago.
Okay.
Spectacular stuff.
Nice.
But, yeah, this one's the goods.
Wicked.
It is so good.
Yeah.
I hope everybody loves this one.
Yeah.
But tell you the truth, I'd understand if you didn't.
Yeah.
If you have a mindset on what you think this film is, try to come in and just let it go over you.
Yeah.
Let it wash. And
yeah,
I hope everybody loves it, because I thought it was spectacular.
Yeah. Really, really great film.
To me, it was worth the trip.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, oh, man. I had friends tweeting me last night being like, oh, man, you're seeing that? And I'm like, whoa, you're from New York and you haven't seen it? That's crazy.
I don't think a lot of people have seen this. This was a coup.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I remember when they announced it, I was like, oh.
That's massive. Yeah. Like, truthfully, this should have been the opening or closing night film. But I'm glad it played where it did so we could see it.
Whistler never has a big film close.
Yeah.
It's always, like, about snowboarding.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so this Snowman this year is about snowboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And last year, The Crash Reel.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And Imitation Game was the opening film.
Yeah.
We both didn't see it, because what's the point?
Yeah, we'll get it soon anyway.
I got a screening of it in 2 weeks. If you live in Victoria and want to see it, hit me up.
Yeah.
But, just a beautiful film.
Yeah.
I hope everybody loves it.
Yeah. Check it out.
I think it's opening limited now, kind of-ish.
Yeah.
The next week or two.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Drive for an hour to see this film.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it. So that that does it for our top five. Overall, pretty good year with a really great finish.
I wouldn't even say it was a good year.
No.
I did see a lot of bad films.
Yeah.
But a couple did. Like, I did enjoy a few films.
Yeah.
Think about film festivals. You got to watch a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah.
To see some good stuff.
Yeah.
I learned this a lot. I saw 146 films in a month.
Yeah.
And I bet you 60% of those weren't good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But damn, I saw some good movies.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of the bad movies, should we talk about our worst films?
Do we have to?
I think it's worthwhile, because we paid a lot of money to be here.
This is true.
We paid, hotel.
I feel like every podcast I talk about how broke I am.
Oh, yeah.
But holy crap, am I broke?
Oh, man. Yeah, this is not a cheap trip to make. Even though it's only, you know, 3-4 day festival, man, we're driving to Whistler, catching a ferry, staying in a hotel. Pizza costs $3.50 a slice, and that's the cheapest meal you can get.
Pretty much.
And, unless you want to go to the poutine place, you're dropping $15 there. Anyway, enough about that. We've seen some bad films.
We're out of festival season. Well, there's the Victoria Film Festival in a month and a half.
Yeah.
That piece of shit doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah. And this year, I bet you whatever lineup they get, you probably will have seen about 95% of the films.
I would doubt it. There's nothing left. I've seen it all.
Yeah. And the other small percentage will be bad films
that I won't want to see anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm a snob.
Like Nikki's Family.
Oh.
We got beef there. We won't go there, but
So the bad films.
Yeah, you do your list, and I think we probably have a couple of the same picks.
My number three film of the worst is a little Vancouver film called Bad City, which isn't really helping the whole I hate Canadian aspect of film festivals.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you ever watch any blaxploitation films?
Oh, I've seen a few, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
They're pretty fun.
Yeah.
But this is not a blaxploitation film. It's a Canucksploitation film.
Ooh.
Play on words. featuring some really bad acting, some really bad scripting, and everything about this film pissed me off to the point where I'm putting it at number three on my list, and I only watched 40 minutes of it.
Ew. Yeah, that sounds pretty lame.
I couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
I read the description and I was like, I don't think I'm going to bother with that. That's too bad.
That was my badge of honor, this festival. I finished 40 minutes of it, and Marina Antunes finished 10 minutes of it and turned it off. I lasted a half hour longer. I win.
Nice. Yes. You win.
I don't know. I think I lost.
Yeah, that's right. I guess I'll jump in. Number three, Big Muddy. I watched half an hour of that movie and walked out.
And to all the people who are like, well, you can't rate it if you didn't watch. We showed up.
Yeah.
I can do whatever the hell I want with my rating.
I went to a damn theater and sat down and watched 30 minutes of this movie. It was in the description of the film. It was described as like a Malick-type film. And I talked about it earlier. The only thing they had going was a male and a female doing crime stuff. And it was shot in Alberta. That's as far as it goes. It's a bloody insult to put Malick in the same sentence.
That's why I was going to watch this film, but I just couldn't. Because Badlands is my favorite Terrence Malick film.
Nice.
And if you try to emulate that film, I get really angry.
Yeah, and it's really unfair to the film because I don't think they were going for Malick at all. There was no there was no voiceover. There were no beautiful shots. there is
an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
A couple years ago at VIFF, there was a film called Eight and Them Body Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Which everybody compared to Badlands.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
And then we watched it. I gave it a fair shake. That movie is damn good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really great film.
Yeah.
And it's more than a Badlands ripoff.
Oh, yeah.
So there is an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, I was 30 minutes in, didn't care for any of the characters, was not interested in any of the characters. The story was very bland. I found no hook, and I was bored, and I was like, ah, fuck this, I'm out of here. So I walked and never looked back.
Yeah, well, hey, both are number threes. We didn't see the entire film, but we have the right to do that.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with that, screw you.
Screw you.
Yeah. My number two, another shitty Canadian film, story of the festival, Relative Happiness.
Ooh.
About an overweight woman who runs a bed and breakfast in Cape Breton.
It was Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia?
Yeah, I think.
Who has a dysfunctional family, and she doesn't like, nobody likes her. And I hate boys. And it's just, fuck.
Yeah.
This film is made for females who are single and 60 and own 17 cats.
Yeah.
And they would still fucking hate it.
Big time. I don't know. I saw some of them at the film and they were fucking loving it. They're not listening. I can say that.
And a big giant fuck you to the filmmaker for inviting the person who wrote the book this was based about to the screening to hawk her books.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that was gross. I saw her at the table and she kind of tried to get my attention. I didn't even look at her. I was like, I'm here to see a movie. I'm not here to fucking buy your book.
In days of old, I would have trolled her. I would have, like, grabbed, like, a Slayer CD. I'm like, can you sign my Slayer CD?
That would have been sweet.
Oh, no. Fuck. Awful film.
Yeah, it's weird that it's, like, written and directed by a female, because this movie really sets women back. Like, she... Okay, so just to give you a bit of where that's coming from. Her sister is getting married soon. Her wedding is in the movie. It's 2 weeks from now. And
oh my God, I can't find a date.
I can't find a date. So the film opens with her trying on the bridesmaid dress, and it's way too small. So it's supposed to be funny because she's a fat girl trying to get into a small bridesmaid's dress. And it's played for laughs, but...
I don't find that funny.
No, there's nothing funny about it. Her weight is played as the butt end of the joke, where previous comedians, and this is just silly trying to compare, but just to contrast comedians and actors who have made it work, Chris Farley, Melissa McCarthy, I mentioned this before, like, they wore their size as an armor. It was not the reason they were funny. Yeah. It was just part of what they had going on for them. Like, Chris Farley had great timing. He was very funny.
He was a Chippendales dancer.
He was a Chippendales dancer.
With Patrick Swayze. An amazing SNL sketch, by the way.
Yeah. And you look at Melissa McCarthy, like, yeah, sure, she does all the...
Makes some of the worst films ever made.
Yeah, she does the Fatty Falls Down and it's funny kind of stuff. But in Bridesmaids, she really brought the humor, and I loved her physical and her other delivered comedy. This girl is just miscast in a movie that should not exist. She's just not funny. She's not a strong enough actress to pull off the human moments they tried to go for. She cries a lot in this movie, and at one point, I honestly wanted to stand up and shout, shut the fuck up. Like, fucking grow up. You're a woman, grown up woman. But just to give you an idea of the quote-unquote comedy in this film, she's working out in the beginning, near the beginning of the film. She's doing yoga, and she's doing this one yoga pose, and she falls down. And then she reaches off camera, and she starts eating a chocolate bar. And she goes, fuck yoga. And it's like, oh yeah, she's a big girl eating a chocolate bar while trying to do yoga. It's not funny.
No.
It's just mean and stupid. Like, who would agree to be in that film or have anything to do with that? It's just... It's ridiculous.
All the star fucking assholes at the Whistler Film Festival?
I guess so. And this was up for the Borsos Award.
It didn't win, by the way.
Oh, good. Do you know what won?
The one film I didn't see.
Ah.
Felix and Maria?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, hate to go on too long about Relative Happiness. It's garbage. It's shitty.
It's a festival film nobody will see, so fuck off.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I think we have the same number one.
I think we do.
Go ahead, take it away.
Elsewhere in New York.
Garbage, garbage, garbage.
Technically the worst film I've seen this year.
By far.
By far. I think I might have seen worse plot movies. Maybe this was my main hatred for this film. It's just so poorly made.
Yeah.
That I don't know how they can release it. Like, nobody should have to watch this film. It is fucking annoying.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
They kind of broadcast proudly about how it's only a two-person crew making this film. You know, maybe a camera guy, sound guy. But every single shot is way out of focus.
It's like, if there was two people on the shoot, that means they only had one fucking job to do, and they both did it wrong.
That's right.
Wrong.
Both the cameraman and the sound guy. Oh man, like, for example, there could be two characters having a conversation. They have about 30 different cuts during the conversation. And it's to compensate and to say, hey, we did this with only two people. We got multiple angles. We got multiple shots of a two-minute conversation. You said it best about the Michael Bay bit. You're like, it's like... what did you say?
It's like Michael Bay editing times 100.
That's right.
Oh, and by the way, every time the camera moves, it goes out of focus.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
It's as if the cameraman didn't know how to use a camera, but you said it best. It's like it was a style choice they made, and it fucking sucks as a result.
Could this film have been a good plot-wise film if there wasn't the distraction around it? No, that's the thing. The plot also sucked.
It's garbage.
This really, really annoying woman moves to New York and meets these people that have no hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
She meets boys. She has sex with them. You don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but she does for some reason. She has a one-night stand, and then 2 years later, she runs into the guy again, and she's like, why didn't you call me?
Happenstance.
Is she like a little farm country girl who's never had a one-night stand before? Like, there was no magic there anyway. Like, it was just bullshit.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend in the movie, he's in a totally different film, which is just as bad. he is just... All of them are truly just... When I say all of them, there's three characters in the film. The three of them are just... They might as well just have a piece of paper. They might as well just have the script in their hands and just read the lines. Because it truly felt like a table read for the first time. They have no chemistry. There's nothing going on in this film. It's just so shitty.
If myself and you and, say, Kyle went out to shoot a film... With no script, absolutely no training at all, I'm pretty sure we could shoot a better film than this. Because A, we know how to film a film straight, with static shots, and we're funny people. Because this movie has absolutely nothing.
It's shit. Yeah.
Fuck this film, fuck whoever booked it, and it shouldn't have been made.
No, it shouldn't have.
And you know what? If our podcast sucks, you know what we do? We erase it. Yeah. We re-record.
We did it just now, actually.
I know. Before we did this podcast, we were sitting outside, and there was cars going by.
Yeah.
And we said, fuck it. We're not going to release this.
Yeah. So we started from scratch. We re-recorded from my car.
Like, did they not watch dailies on this thing and go, wow, this is awful.
Yeah. Well, they probably spent about $20 on it, which, whatever. But that doesn't excuse a bad film. Great films have been made for probably the same amount of money.
Yeah, but I'm going to spend $20 on takeout tonight.
That's right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Elsewhere in New York, if it ever plays at a small festival you're attending, don't give it your time. It is shit.
Oh, on a little side note, to the person I know who liked this, fuck you!
Yeah.
Straight from me to you, bitch.
All right. So I think we got that out of our systems, the worst films we saw there. Oh,
that might be my worst film of the year.
It's up there, man.
Yeah.
I don't know that, well, I was thinking of that shitty musical we watched.
Oh.
But at least it looked better than this.
It was shot competently.
On a technical level, like the ADR in Elsewhere New York, there would be two characters walking through a park. One of them sounds okay, and the other person sounds like they're in a box, a hollow box with lots of echoey bits. ADR is... Sure, that's a part of every single film. They have to...
It didn't match either.
Yeah. There were times when it didn't match their...
It was out of sync.
Out of sync. It was out of sync. Oh, such a shit movie, man.
Yeah.
So garbage.
One thing I learned from this festival is that my whole idea of Canadian film is totally justified.
Yeah.
And I really don't like saying that because we're obviously Canadian, but
yeah.
Canadian film sucks. It really does.
Yeah, and Bill's not just saying that because of two or three bad films he's seen. Just this year alone, how many Canadian films do you think you've watched?
I've probably seen 50 or 60.
Yeah.
Maybe even as high as 75.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a small test sample.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
I bet you I've seen 80% of the Canadian films that have come out this year.
Yeah, and for the same number for the last 5-6 years, yeah. Right?
And it frustrates me. I want to support Canadian film, and I really can't.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's exceptions to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a good one at VIFF called Pregoland.
Okay.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I liked that film quite a bit. But I saw 144 films in a month, and I liked 2 Canadian films. I probably saw 20.
Yeah.
That's not a good average.
Oh, that sucks, man.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Like, let me put it this way. American Indies. Whiplash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Spring.
Yeah.
A movie that's coming out next year is going to kick all your asses. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Canadian Indies? Who gives a fuck? You don't need to know this. They're all...
Yeah.
And I apologize to people in Canada who are like, well, you probably shouldn't be saying that because you probably shouldn't just be supporting it. I don't put my name behind something if I don't support it.
Exactly.
That makes you a whore.
Yeah, and part of me, you know, it's built into my DNA that I should enjoy Canadian films. And, you know, I will praise the ones that I do see. But you look at my list, my top five, only one of them is a Canadian film. That's Backcountry. Two of them are special presentation films, and two of them come from the late night program. One American film, one English, Irish.
One on New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah. I would love to be able to be like, okay, here are my top five. Three of them are Canadian. Maybe next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Still, you know what, man? I enjoyed the festival. It's nice. Yeah. It was nice festing with you.
Oh, it's awesome.
Marina Antunes.
Yeah.
My festival buddy.
Yeah.
I love going to see films with you.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of films with you at VIFF, and you're always clutch.
Yeah.
Dale and Colleen, you're awesome, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun festival. I know we've had some negativity in this podcast, and that's never new. But it's a really fun festival. It's everything is super close.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go too far. When we got there, there was very little snow.
Yeah.
And then it snowed.
Yeah.
And legit, I think I heard Adrian say 15 times, oh, man, I wish it didn't snow.
I hate the slush and ice. Like, that's in my top three fears, is slipping on ice and falling down. I'm a big boy, so that's going to hurt. And I have fallen on black ice, and it hurts, man. Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, there's no give on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have fun, man?
Oh, I loved it. Sarah came with me this year. That made it so much better. Someone to cuddle with at night. Yeah, we just, you know, we took time out. We went for, you know, lunch, dinner, breakfast here and there. And that made a world of difference. And sure, I saw fewer films, but I was able to share the experience with Sarah and, of course, with you and everybody else who we enjoy seeing there. And we only saw Kyle Wells there once twice.
Shout out to Kyle.
Yeah, so shout out to Kyle. Hope you had fun this year. Awesome to see you there. And yeah, we'll see you around. But overall, love the experience. Every year I'll be there. And for a guy who loves to see films, I could theoretically see 5-6 a day. Maybe next year I'll just be more selective of the films I watch.
Just to point this out, I did see 6 films a day.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is funny because I'm usually like 7 film a day guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my average probably worked out to about 4 or 4.5 a day.
That's cool, man.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
That's always my goal, is just to hit 4 per day.
And there's something pretty wrong about you to say, hey, bye, Sarah, and just taking off, and that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun festival.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
That's pretty much it for us this year, festival-wise. So
yeah, that's it.
I'm super happy about that.
Yeah, yeah. Another one in the books. We'll have Victoria coming up in February. I'm going to South by Southwest for the first time in March.
You hope to survive bastard. That one. That's going to be hardcore, man.
I can't wait. I'm going to get in fights. I'm going to get drunk. It'll be good. I'm you know, quote unquote, only going for, I think, 6 days. So I'm not doing the full thing. Again, I'll aim for 4 day and hope to see a lot of stuff that plays Sundance. So
it's so funny too, because I am festival hardcore.
Yeah,
and I will not do South by Southwest.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a stupid festival. Although when we were at Fantastic Fest, I was talking to locals about South by Southwest, and they said it's stupid. Don't go.
Yeah, I had a friend tell me the same. She lives in Austin.
Yeah.
And says she hates covering South by Southwest. But I was like, well, I love Austin. I want to try it. I want to give it a shot. If I don't like it, I won't go back next year.
Yeah, there's plenty of barbecue to eat, man.
There's lots of barbecue.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so I'll check it out. See how it goes. And what else?
Is that about it?
Yeah, and then we'll have Fantastic Fest against Fantastic Fest next year. And we'll be doing the whole thing again, all over again.
So are we recording next week?
Oh.
For 2 weeks. A little bit of a tease. A little yeah. bit of a tease.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen a film.
Yes.
Called Citizen 4. We're yeah. going to talk about it next show.
Yeah.
A little bit of a tease. It is amazing.
Outstanding.
If this film is in your city, see it before the show.
Yeah.
Listen to us just wax poetic about this
film. Yeah.
Because it is spectacular stuff.
Yeah.
You will never think of yourself using electronics again the same. It's,
yeah.
It's mental.
Yeah.
Absolutely mental.
Yeah. I said it's the scariest film of the year. And I'm not exaggerating,
No, it's way more scary than The Babadook.
Yeah. A film that didn't scare me at all, and yeah. I get scared at a lot of films. But anyway.
That's a tease.
Yeah.
Even though we just totally told you exactly what we thought of it.
But yeah, Citizen 4, go see it. It's playing limited release right now. We had to go to Vancouver to see it, and it's great.
But yeah, so check it out. I think that's about it.
Cool. All right. Oh, I guess we should tell you where to find us. Where can people find you online, Bill?
I'm on the Twitter at soundjam69. Check out my Whistler reviews. Other than that, talk a lot of sports.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about it.
Yes, and you can find me. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. And you can find the show's Twitter account, @green_screen. We're also on Instagram, The Green Screen of Death, and we're on a Facebook. So if you want to search in Facebook, The Green Screen of Death, you'll find us, hit like, and you'll be one of the 20 people who like the the show's Facebook page.
I don't have a Facebook account.
That's right. You can also find us on various platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Any podcasting platform you use, just run a search, The Green Screen of Death. And we do appreciate it if you hit like, leave a comment. Any feedback gives us access to a wider audience. It'll move us up in the lists that are out there, perhaps.
I stopped listening to the show because Bill is so negative. Then I'm like, but Adrian's been negative lately, not me.
I have no idea what you're talking about, man. Check out the Bizarro episode.
Oh, that's some good shit, man. I love that episode.
When I shit all over Disney's Big Hero 6.
where I audibly yell out, this is so weird.
That's right. Yeah. So, again, thanks to anybody who's stuck with us. We're approaching our 1 year mark. So, if you've stuck with us the whole year or for any amount of time, we appreciate it. Thanks for checking us out. We're going to keep going, man. We're having a lot of fun with this. We're here to stay, and we're having a blast, and we're only going to get better. I think if you listen to the first episode, you will fully agree.
Do not listen to the first episode. The second one's okay, but do not listen to the first one.
Oh, it's garbage.
It's fucking awful.
It sucks.
I would delete it if we could.
Yeah.
But for prosperity's sakes, we can.
Yeah. Okay, so next time you hear from us, we'll be talking, you know, quote-unquote regular films you can see that are in either limited, wide release, and we'll just pick it up from there.
All right.
All right, so until next time, thanks for listening.
Peace.